Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, first in the Northern Bay Area, world famous juggler Greg Larson. How you doing, Greg?
I am great, Ozzy. You see, I am a happily married man that when I do something good, my wife rewards me with letting me play video games. And it is a fantastic situation. I've had some great gaming over the past few days. How are you doing, Ozzy?
Damn it,
Greg. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a little bit of fun here. Of course, the other voice you hear, producer Todd.
Oh, yeah,
Todd, the
other one, yeah.
Well, because I'm gonna go into like a 2 minute thing real quick to explain that I just lost all consciousness is because when we were right before we recorded, we were sharing a quick story and Greg said, "I got the worst joke ever," and we're not going to share that joke because it's not wise to share at this moment. But when he told me it's the worst joke I ever heard, and he went the other way, I was so swerved that I started to lose energy and swerved to the side, and I couldn't laugh. Similarly, if you're watching on the YouTube show, that's what you just saw right now. And I got to explain what went on in my head at that very moment. What happened at that moment is when Greg started to say that joke, I'm like, okay, the car in my head, there's a guy driving a car that goes to different senses of humor. It's like, okay, he's going to go over here. Okay, hey, listen, he's got this joke to say. And then when Greg did this other swerve, it should have gone to another sense of humor. So the car had to like turn in my head. And that's why I'm like losing energy, is because all the energy was focused on this piece of information going to that one piece of sense of humor. And then the driver that's driving the car knows what's happening and he's laughing, but the driver can't laugh because the only thing in my head that could laugh, it's like Doom Patrol with Jane and all the battles in her head or whatever, finally gets to that sense of humor and then finally laughs and finally allows a reaction. And that's why I went silent for 5 seconds. So I apologize for the 5 seconds of silence you heard after Greg asked me, how am I doing? That's exactly how I was doing at that very moment. So to answer your question, that's how I'm doing. Todd, how are you doing? I mean, I introduced you, but I didn't ask you how you really were because you're usually chilling.
Chilling.
There it is. There it is. Chilling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week we had the pleasure of watching and reviewing the wonderful, hilarious Basketball.
Now, are you tipping your hand?
Tipping my hand.
Yeah, but you're a first time watch, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, people knew it was Basketball. We got the whole poster going on behind me, you know what I mean? And
I still
not much of
you.
A shocker. Anyhow.
What about the wonderful, hilarious?
Yeah, that's irrelevant. What's relevant right now is we should get to the trailer, and then we'll start our discussion of this fantastic film. Todd, if you'd please do the honors.
Brown at the 10, the 5, touchdown!
In a world where professional sports had sunk to a new low, two guys invented a game.
Yes! Home run, that's 3-1, dude.
That took them to the big time.
Hard to believe that just 5 years ago, this game was played only on driveways.
And it's hard to believe just 5 years ago, those girls were only in grade school.
From the director of The Naked Gun, and starring the creators of South Park.
What an unfortunate thing to happen on Dozen Egg Night.
Comes a story about their rise to stardom.
Would you mind signing these?
Sure. Oh.
The fans who adored them.
Joey, look who's here.
My biological father?
And the forces.
Players of your caliber should be making the big bucks, don't you agree?
That drove them apart.
Dude, you turned down Kane's offer without even talking to us.
Dude, I'm not gonna cave in.
Dude!
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 Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
Universal Pictures presents...
I love kids. Heads up, big guy.
Rita.
God, I need a little work on the hands.
He's blind, Doug.
Trey Parker.
Ah,
Matt Stone.
Yeah, guess I'll take my shot now.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Here, open your blouse and say ah.
Reamer.
Jenny McCarthy.
I finally got all the chrome off this for you.
Robert Vaughn.
It's nice. It's very nice.
You want me to start on this one?
And Academy Award winner, Ernest Borgnine. This summer, experience the passion and the triumph.
I'm the king of the world! Yeah!
Basketball.
I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples!
Excuse me.
I can see Oz dying in the what they were playing.
Guys, that was, I mean, spoiler, but like that was one of the lines. I mean, one of my favorite lines is when Bob Costas, "You're excited? Feel these nipples!" Like, and one of the things I wrote down is the like just perfect Bob Costas and Al Michaels moments just gave it that like good sports feels, and it is very much a sports film. If you couldn't get the idea from the trailer, in case you're listening to the audio version, quick synopsis from IMDb reads, two childhood friends are pro athletes of a national sport called basketball, a hybrid of baseball and basketball, and must deal with a greedy businessman scheming against their team. Now that kind of covers, I think, 2/3 of the movie. You probably get a good third explaining the origins of basketball, whatnot. But what I loved about it, because in this, the trailer mentioned from the director of the Naked Gun, David Zucker, it definitely had that parody feel from the very beginning. And I real quick, before I get to your initial thoughts, Greg, initially what I loved so much and what allowed me to really dive into this whole story instead of it just being a comedy is that there's a 60-second intro with a narration voiceover.
That, I know. I can already see him holding his tongue.
No. Just it sets the stage in which it creates a world that how this could be so popular and take off. And it just makes a lot of sense. And there's a bit of that kind of humor that you would get from South Park that is like a satire on society in terms of like cities moving. And I know what you're talking about, Todd. And I'm just going to let it out right now. When they talked about sports teams. Yes! No! Bullshit! Here's where I'm crazy. This is why it's bullshit. Is because the Raiders have only been, and they still remain to be, the only team that has brought a Super Bowl championship to Los Angeles. And that happened on the year that I was born. So everybody can kiss my ass with that bullshit. All right? Yes. It's funny that the last time the Raiders won the Super Bowl was the year that I was born, and I didn't even see them win the Super Bowl. But I guarantee that one of those things they're talking about, shut up. They were talking about Marcus Allen. I guarantee it.
Okay,
Greg, what initial thoughts do you have? And then Todd, you just go after Greg. I need some time to cool off.
You know, I kind of want to buy Ozzy a beer right now. Because first off, he needs to chill out. I get it. I wasn't gonna take it because equally offended in that intro was this guy here. When the Cowboys of all teams scores against the 49ers in the beginning of the stupid movie and does a stupid dance about it. So initial thoughts are that's some bullshit because their quarterback definitely ain't doing any running around and dancing right now. Just going to say that. On top of that.
Man. This came out in 1998 and
23 years old. Jesus.
And Dak Prescott is, I think, 24 years old. So
right.
He was a baby when this movie came out and you're saying, "Hey kid, because that happened in that movie, you're going to break your ankle in the middle of a football game. You're going to miss the rest of the season."
Yep. Yep. Although I'll still pick him on my fantasy team, but
There you go.
Other first impression, Jenny McCarthy must have made so much money throughout her life because she looks exactly the same as when she did in this movie over 20 years ago. And so the money that's gone into that face, good for her. I was excited to see this movie again. It's been a long time. I remembered loving it before. I wondered if it would hold up. And I'll have those impressions later.
Alrighty. Todd?
Well, I've loved this since it came out. I mean, I was already, you know, South Park from the beginning. Like, going back further, Cannibal the Musical, which one day I'll talk Ozzy into reviewing on this. You know, you combine the airplane and the South Park together and you get this, and it's awesome. I mean, it's definitely a parody of sports films. Nothing particular like an airplane or Naked Gun. Well, Naked Gun's kind of a broad one, too. It doesn't really, like, we're making fun of one thing. But it is, yeah. My initial thoughts, it's awesome. And side note, they're not huge fans of this movie. They like their other movies better. And I think this is their best movie. They're hilarious in this.
Yes. And especially what was going on in the trailer, the back and forth between the dude and the dude. There's a lot more of it in the actual movie, which it's like I was watching it and I'm laughing, but I'm also like, I understand. Like, I'm in there. Dude!
I do want to say, though, I know Ozzy, you know, I already know he loved it because it has Robert Vaughn's second best performance as a villain.
Yes, second best. Oh, God.
There we go.
No.
He didn't bring the supercomputer, so.
That's where it was. Damn it. I didn't even know it. You know why? It's because after Superman 3, the little driver in my head was like, all right, we need to delete this for the rest of all time. And fucking throw it in an incinerator. And it's like, it's okay, Ozzy. You never saw Superman 3. Don't worry about it. You never saw it. It never happened. Don't worry about it. And you, Todd, God, this movie and Superman 3, it all comes back to haunt me. Now, in terms of favorite lines, there's one in the trailer, but what a line that I appreciated was the Scarface line. He's like, why can't we get the chicks? No, first we need jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then, like, first we get the jobs. Mm-hmm. Then you get the jobs. Then you get the khakis. Then you get the khakis. Then you get the girls. So, no, first you get the money. Then you get the money. Then you get the power. Then you get the power. Then you get the women. So just like, that was like such a subtle crack up, because I'm sure that went over so many people's heads. Because it was so subtle. Oh, it was brilliant. But especially now with, after all the Marvel movies, the Robert Downey Jr. alcohol.
Yes. Like,
this is weird. This kid smells like Robert Downey Jr. Like, people today, some people not going to know. They're like, why does he just smell like Iron Man or something? Like, does he smell like an Avenger? But I think what made me laugh as a whole, it almost was just like a series of moments that happened one after the other, after the other, after the other, like, oh my God, I'm having a hard time taking all this in right now, was there's a scene in the hospital where just like a Looney Tunes cartoon, and just one thing after another leads to one thing, and just, whew, I lost it in that hospital scene. I don't want to describe in detail as to what happened for those that haven't seen it, but for those that have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Greg?
Well, mine has to also do with some sick children. There's a scene where Yasmin Bleeth, which, by the way, that is a name I have not heard in some time, and I forgot how gorgeous Yasmin Bleeth is.
I will say this, she looks a lot different now. That's all I will say.
But there's a moment, her character, Jenna Reed, says, I've been the director of the Dream Come True Foundation since October. And Cooper says, the ones that grant wishes to sick and dying kids, right? And her response is, oh, well, we like to think of them as health challenged and survival impaired. I lost it. Oh, man, because it's so reflective of, like, the culture, but God damn it, is that funny.
Almost ahead of its time, in a way.
Yeah.
Because 1990, I'm sorry I didn't mention this, but it was released July 31st, 1998, with a runtime of an hour and 43 minutes. Of course, rated R. Todd?
Okay, I have more notes than normal. Picking a moment on this one was hard. I mean, there's little moments, like a little sight gag, like the tampon blimp with the string hanging down had me rolling. That's just an early sight gag. Yeah, that was one of the very earliest. The part where Matt and Trey are talking to each other and they're like, oh, you think you could be in a movie now that you're all big time fucking sellout. Total, you know, obviously nod to them, but it just perfect. And the Robert Stack stuff kills me. I'm a big Unsolved Mysteries fan. Oh. And it's a throwback to Airplane because we get Robert Stack in the Zucker's right, movie exactly. again. So,
yes.
That. And I will, Pugs specially requests me to tell his favorite line in the movie. And that is 1, 2, 3, fuck the Mexicans. The psycho.
Right.
Yeah, the psych outs are great. I mean, there's the whole movie that you got a bunch of different ones.
Yes, and I did another swerve joke that I appreciated was the mask gimmick between or for Squeak, where he kept trying to wear masks to psych him out, and then on the one where he actually psychs him out, he's actually just wears no mask. Like that one had me laughing pretty hard. Like. I love that one. Now, I can't say. Also, real quick to mention, Ira Newborn with the score on this, and Ira Newborn also providing the score for other comedies like Naked Gun and Uncle Buck and a lot of 80s movies. So it was cool to see or hear, technically, that. But I will say, I can't say this is perfect in terms, and this is probably why it's their least favorite movies, because I feel that there's a moment where stuff kind of slows down and I can't pinpoint exactly where it is, but it starts out so quick, especially like with the, like I mentioned, the narration that explains how everything happened. It's like, okay, so we got here. Okay. They created the sport and now it seems like stuff was trying to be dragged out in like maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes could have been cut, I think. Ultimately, overall, I had such a great time watching this movie just because every scene like has I understand why everything is in it, but I don't know if there's just a way to make it tighter.
It runs over 90. So, yeah, they could have cut down. Now, what did it run? 143. If they would have chopped 13 minutes out of it, I would have tightened it up. But most comedies, 90s, your sweet spot anytime you go over. And it's the only movie they did not, you know, have a hand in writing. So that's going to be part of it.
Right, right. But having said that, I think I feel comfortable giving this a 4.5 on both fun and good, just because it didn't seem like a bullshit story. It seemed like an actual story that I cared about the character and I wanted to see where this was all going to go. And reminiscent of sports movies when you want to see like the athlete, you know, really win the big one. It had that in there. So I really enjoyed it. It was a great movie. And yeah, it was my first time watching. So there's that. But 4.5 across.
Nice. Right? This one was, I remember, like I said, in the beginning of this, like I remember absolutely loving this film. A lot of these jokes haven't really aged well in them being okay. Making this movie tighter. I don't know, Ozzy. Those cheerleader outfits were pretty tight. So not sure what you're talking about there. But
I spotted a couple of porn stars, too, as the cheerleader.
But, you know, I was trying to think about it. I was like, okay, this, I've given fives to all these great Mel Brooks films and all these like fantastic films. Basketball can't be that good. So where's my score going to land? And I was like, no, I laughed way too hard at this film. I enjoyed every second of it. So sure as shit, I'm going to put this film as a five for myself because I still enjoy it. I don't care about how crazy the jokes get. And yeah, this will, I'm really happy we revisited it because I'm going to continue watching this film more and more.
Yeah, this is my second time this year already. So I'm just going to say that.
Nice.
So that alone should be a tip off. I'm a five. Without spoiling it, I will tell you there's the one psych out that got the biggest reaction in the theater was one that had to do with another property they worked on previously. So got a huge reaction. One other thing I want to ask Ozzy, did that building look familiar? It's a very historic building.
Did that building look familiar?
Where they actually, where they were playing the game, the games. They're all they were all filmed at the same place. I know it's supposed to be different stadiums, but all filmed in the historic Grand Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles.
Ah.
Also where they shot all the wrestling scenes of Man on the Moon. So the Andy Kaufman
right
movie. Yeah. So little trivia there.
Yeah, and how about your rating?
I said I had to give it a five. I mean, oh, it's okay. Not even a choice. Yeah. I've watched it twice hard this year. When I watched it earlier this year, I was like, oh, we got to do it. This is going to be a perfect one for Ozzy. He's going to love it. Yeah. And unlike when Ozzy suggests like Mystery Men.
Okay, you know what? Nothing is 100% perfect, all right? And you can't and have mystery, the good man. Without the bad. And you know what? Can we... Greg, I'm going to share this story about Mystery Men real quick.
Oh, okay.
He about a couple weeks ago, Greg sends me a screenshot of somebody saying, like one of these social media posts, and shows a picture of Mystery Men. I forgot how good this movie was. What the fuck?
I hope you had friended them.
I was close to it. It was very close.
Well,
you should have just posted the link.
Oh my god, Todd! I should have done. I don't think I'm friends with the person is the thing. But if I saw that, I would have been like, it's like when people say about the. Oh, the old Mortal Kombat movie's so good. Mm. Like, when was the last time you saw it?
Go listen to our review.
Free plug. Go listen to Riff Tracks about the Mortal Kombat. Oh my gosh. That's a recommendation. Now, in terms of recommendation, I would absolutely have anybody, I'd recommend to anybody, watch this movie. It's hilarious. Maybe those that are, yes. Health challenged. And Greg's favorite line. Maybe not the best. However, it was great that we got to this film. Next week, we're going to come back with a new film to watch. It is Memorial Day. So in honor of the troops, there's not a better movie out there than Stripes. Starring Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. Looking forward to discussing that one. It's a blast. But that's it for this week. Greg, Todd, anything else you guys have to say before we head out for the week? I'll take that as a no.
Ozzy can suck the chrome off a doorknob.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the literalness of those jokes. My God. They're so good.
The cream bit, too.
All right. Yeah, I don't have enough energy to close out the show if we keep going at this rate.
Laying carpet.
It's a great film. Everybody should watch it. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Flesh Wound producer Todd, or rather, that is Flesh Wound producer Todd. That is world famous juggler Greg Larson. And I am Ozzy V. And we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.